WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin, Mego, Shime Time, all here with you until 1 o'clock. And then it is off to NFL land here on WEEI, as we'll have some coverage of games for you all throughout the afternoon. Also, just a friendly PSA. If Juan Soto signs with the Red Sox, we will pivot, I promise you. If that gets announced sometime in the next hour, there will be a pivot off of the NFL and our pop, lock, and drop and all that other stuff. We'll probably still talk to Andy Hart because, you know, he's got nothing else going on. But other than that, we'll get to the Soto news. There's no news as of now. I thought for sure this was going to get done this weekend, but it seems like maybe it won't. So anyway, just wanted to let you know, if you're tuning in and hoping to hear about Soto, if something breaks, we will let you know about it.
Do not worry. We'll have you.
We will have you covered. We open the show talking about expectations for the season, expectations for what the Patriots would do, how many games they would win, the progression of Drake May, the coaching staff, etc. You guys both think that this is going worse than you expected it to this season, right? You expected
Correct.
More from this team than what we've seen so far.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I had projected that they would go over the 4.5 win total for the year, and they clearly are not going
Still could.
you're right. They could. I feel it's very unlikely, given what the team has shown thus far through 14 games.
Are they going to win any of these next four games?
No.
Are they going to win any of them? No?
Maybe week 18 if Buffalo's position has been decided in the playoff race, but that's to be seen. And that would be like the only way you're going to get to four, in my opinion.
Would it matter to them whether or not Allen's playing for MVP?
No, because by week 18, he should have that locked up. I mean, he's the betting favorite now. I don't see that really changing, barring something catastrophic happening in Buffalo. So, I mean, he'll probably have that wrapped up by then anyway. So, I look at it as if Buffalo sits players in week 18, that becomes a very winnable game. Other than that, your most winnable game is probably the Cardinals, who are a good football team. But I don't expect it. Let's say that.
I don't expect it either. I think they could win one of the Buffalo games. I don't think that they're better than Buffalo, but I didn't think last year's team with Mac Jones was either. It's a division game. And division games this year, as we'll discuss, because there's a bunch of them
so
today,
weird.
Have been very unpredictable. I don't know. Even when it's about as lopsided as it could possibly be, and this isn't anything new, but this year I feel like it's exaggerated almost how wild these division games have been, especially when it comes to the haves and the have-nots of the league. And this is about as big a definition of that as you could possibly have here, is the Buffalo Bills, one of the best teams in football, best team in the AFC, going up against the Patriots, who will be once again picking likely in the top five in the draft coming up this summer. That being said, we haven't done a lot of draft talk here, and I know that there will be time to do that as the season officially wraps up, but here we are at week 14. It's college football. We got a bunch of these conference championship games going on and so forth. Have either of you put any more thought than you normally do or normally would into where you'd like to see the Patriots go if they're picking that high, if they're going to be going in the top three, top five, what position you'd like them to look at, any college players that you're particularly hot after, anything like that?
So I did a little exercise for WEEI.com on Friday where
I picked
out the five positions on which the Patriots need to focus the most in order to support Drake May next year and how to get those positions, whether through the draft, trade, free agency. And for draft, to me, the clearest thing is just a left tackle, especially it's very early in Shime. You probably know more deeply in a sense about the specifics of this, but it does look like this draft is going to have a lot of tackle talent, and that you'll be able to, because there are teams that may be positioned ahead of you who need to find a quarterback, that you might be able to get the best tackle in the entire draft.
Yep.
With your position.
Correct.
And so to me, I know wide receiver weapon is the sexy pick, and everybody's in love with Travis Hunter and wants to see what he would do here.
Ted McMillan at Arizona.
Yeah, I get that. But I just think that when you look at the teams that have success in the league right now, you really, really have to invest in that offensive line, and that's where I'd go.
Yeah, I would lean offensive line as well. To be honest, I'm just rooting for the most fun option, which is trade down a little bit, draft insert offensive lineman name here, but then towards the end of the first round, draft Ashton Jaunte, just because I want to have somebody that's fun that's not the quarterback to root for. And he's the most fun player in the draft. Like you
he's
look
not
at
more fun than Travis Hunter.
Yes,
come
he
on.
Is. No, Travis Hunter is going to play corner in the NFL. He's not even going to play a skill position. Like it's.
I think he will play a skill position in the NFL.
I would tend to strongly disagree, would be the word I would use.
Fine, disagree all you want, but a running back in the Mountain West, I'm sorry, is just not that exciting to me.
He is the most fun player in the draft. Anybody that watches Ashton Jaunte play knows how fun he is.
Yeah, that's why he's playing Mountain West teams, that's why.
Yeah, and the players just fall off of him. Like, this is one of the most exciting
awesome.
Running backs. He's so much fun.
Not going to say he's not good, but come on.
That's why. Like, I don't have any faith in this organization to actually draft, like, successful talent based on who's currently in charge. Mm-hmm. So instead, I'm just going to simply root for the most fun option, which is Ashton Jaunte.
That's where I go with, in a way, I think it's the smartest, but also maybe more foolproof, because that's what you did with Drake May. You lucked into an extremely high draft pick. So maybe you'll just luck into falling into an offensive lineman.
That'd be great. And I'd
Which
be totally
be
cool with that.
Cushy.
But yeah, that'd be nice. Kelvin Banks, Will Campbell, whatever. Like, mm-hmm. that's cool. I'm in. But, you know,
something,
I also just want to root for fun.
Something would feel very empty about drafting a running back.
Like
you have another high pick.
If you had two picks in the first round and you got a lineman and a running back, that'd be great.
You also might have some good running backs who are going to be available as free agents if you want to go that direction.
Yeah, but they don't want to. They probably won't want to pay, is
well,
my guess.
Deal with it. Yeah.
They're already paying Ramondre too much money.
We don't want to watch this team again. So go
I agree.
Pay for somebody.
But they're already overpaying for Ramondre, so you counterbalance that by getting a rookie running back.
No. That's not my countermouse.
Okay. That's fine. I'm just saying. Like, so I just look at it, and that's the fun option to me. And I think the realistic option, Mego, you're right. They're just going to draft the best left tackle available. It is what it is. Let's go. Let's try and build an offensive line to protect your best asset,
like
which is your
Drake
quarterback.
Drake May to stay alive.
Yeah, I agree. So, I get it.
Get a left tackle.
That's the smart decision, and I totally agree.
And if you want to focus on the running back, well, you got to have somebody blocking for him, because that's pretty much what any of Ramondre Stevenson's success has hinged on this entire season.
Yeah.
That's true. I think for intents and purposes, when it comes to rebuilding the wide receiver room, there's going to be not a lot of options, but there'll be maybe more options in free agency than there was this past year. At the very least, you know, T. Higgins probably going to get cut loose, and that's a big whale to sort of land right there. I do think that there's some good wide receiver prospects in the draft, though. I don't know about these tackles, because all I'm hearing about these tackles, the kid from LSU and elsewhere, is that they project more to be guards in the NFL.
But we don't need another one of those.
We don't need guards. Well, it's not like we're flush with guards either. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, the whole offensive line could use a pretty good reset.
Yeah, but you've been taking a lot of guys that you thought could maybe be a tackle, turn into a tackle, and then, oh, it's a guard.
Right.
So I also think, though, too, the parameters of offensive tackles in the NFL are getting smaller. Mm. Like, the size parameters are getting smaller, because offensive linemen are just getting more athletic, and the sport as a whole is getting smaller because they're just leaning towards speed more than physicality in a lot of ways. And so, I mean, you see it at the linebacker position, especially even the running back position nowadays. A lot of guys are just smaller, more compact, and faster, especially, and I think that applies to the offensive line. Yeah. So I'm not too worried about taking Will Campbell or Kelvin Banks
I'm not like specifically watching those guys week to week.
Sure.
I'm not interested in somebody who is kind of like some hybrid position possibility.
Yeah, but these guys aren't like hybrid
guys.
You've
been doing that. Like, you're trying to now turn Cole Strange, who was small when he came in for the NFL and had trouble gaining weight and staying out there at guard, and turn him into a center. You tried to turn Mike Onwenu into a tackle, and he's a guard. Just find a freaking tackle. I've been talking about this for like 3 years now.
Like, Will Campbell has played 805 snaps at left tackle. He's 6'6", 320. Like, he's not, like, they claim he could be better as a guard. He is a legitimate left tackle. It's not, there's no question about
it. What do you think Drake May wants more? If it was up to him, if they were like, Drake, we got a left tackle here, we got Hunter here, one of the wide receivers, what would you rather we go and draft? What do you think May says?
I think he probably wants a tackle.
I think he wants a receiver more.
I would have said Tet McMillan. The receiver out of Arizona.
Yeah, someone who's just more of a target, someone who's reliable.
He's gonna be open. He's gonna catch the football. He's big. He's strong. That's kind of what I think Drake would want.
Yeah, I think Drake would like the offensive line to get better. But when it comes to like, where do I want a blue chipper to like helping me out there? I think he'd rather have someone to throw to, because he can move. He can get away from the run.
Especially you look at the offensive line this year. That's one of the things on the field that can't get much worse. Like, physically, it just can't. And he's
Did you see the Bears game? what they had on the other side.
That's true.
Sure. Yeah. But overall, like, it can't get much worse than a bunch of practice squad players, and he's been able to manage that, whereas the receivers, he physically can't manage those. And so I would agree with Arkan. I think if you asked him, he would want a legitimate number one receiver as his top priority.
I just tend to maintain that.
We'll ask him on Monday.
Do it.
Wow. The nice little brag there. I tend to maintain
Flex.
That receivers become available in the offseason way more often than high-end
Definitely.
Tackles do.
I agree.
And you've been without one for a while. You need to go. You need to eat your vegetables there.
Yeah. I mean, listen, this team has a lot of vegetables they need to eat at various positions all over the roster. 617-779-7937 is your phone number if you'd like to join the conversation. Right now, here's Chris Scheim. He's going to tell you what's trending. We do have Andy Hart. He's slated to join the show at 12:30, which we're looking forward to, as we'll get his take on the bye week, on Bill Belichick, and all the other things going on around the world of football. We also have Pop, Lock, and Drop coming your way at about 12:45, where we will let you know about what our picks are, who we think's going to be popping off, and so forth this weekend, week 14 here in the NFL. Here's Chris Scheim with what's trending.
Football Sunday, Christian Arkin, Megan Adelini, Chris Scheim, all here with you until 1 o'clock. We'll be joined by Andy Hart in about 10 minutes, or 5 minutes, I should say, as we'll get his take on the goings-on here of the bye week, what's going on with Bill Belichick and the UNC coaching staff, if he's going to be joining it, if he's going to be taking it over and adding all his friends and relatives to it. And there's also this, Mike Reese put out his weekly quick hits and notes around the New England Patriots, thoughts about that. It had some quotes from Rodney Harrison, as well as a couple of things. The bye week practices, which I'd read this and I thought, huh, that's interesting. Patriots are back on Monday after having one practice over their bye week, which was this past Tuesday. They are one of six teams with a week 14 bye, and of that group, they are the only team to hold a practice over the bye week. Interesting. Broncos played Monday night in week 13. Sean Payton gave the players the rest of their bye weeks off. Meanwhile, the Colts, Commanders, Ravens, and Texans all had film work Monday, and then players took off until the following Monday. One difference between those teams and the Patriots, they are all in the playoff hunt and preparing for what they hope is a deep run into early February, whereas the New England Patriots are already eliminated from the postseason. A screen inside the Patriots' locker room informed players of the weather, the location of practice, if it'll be full pads or shells, and what number practice it is since the start of training camp. For those keeping track, Tuesday's bye week practice was number 65. I read that, and it's kind of innocuous, right? Like one practice in the bye week, who cares, whatever. But I read that, and I thought, huh. You know, Gerard Mayo at the beginning of the season really made a point about how it was going to be a little less intense around here, right? Like, it wasn't going to be Bill Belichick boot camp anymore. You were going to be getting there a little bit later. You could leave a little earlier. We weren't going to be running you up and down all the hills all the time. Like, it did seem like there was, in the beginning anyway, and maybe that's changed, and I just haven't
totally
noticed it.
I totally disagree with that.
You disagree
wasn't
with
his
that? Practice is pretty
intense?
Yeah,
his training camp was much harder than Bill's have been the last 3 years.
I thought that he was letting guys...
He was doing over 2.5 hours on some of those hot days, and he was literally having them run the hills. Like,
they
take
were running
them to the
hills.
Hill. Take them to the hill was their rally
opening
cry
slogan.
For the first
right,
couple
but
weeks.
Weren't they starting practice later and getting
but
out earlier and everything else?
His idea of starting practice later was that it had more to do with when they were scheduling the meetings, that it would be easier for guys to retain the information.
All right, well, then maybe I sort of misread that whole situation, but it seemed like...
I think that's how a lot of people wanted to characterize it.
He was correct. Trying to go away from the way that Bill used
but
to run his
bootcamp. But he's definitely, in terms of, like, the way, at least the way the training camp ran, was a hard ass physically
yeah.
with that.
Okay. All right, well, then fair enough. Then this is on track with that. I was going to say, I thought it seemed like a departure somewhat from the way things had been earlier on in the season and the way he'd been running practice and all that and being a little bit more of a kinder, gentler leadership authority figure than Bill Belichick was, and then he's having guys come in and practice during the bye week. But
also,
if that's the way it's been going all year, then I take it back.
And when you're 3-11, like, it kind of makes sense you come in for a day during the bye week because you guys need to figure some crap out. Like, you have a lot of issues, and a lot of them are just, you know, pre-snap penalties, procedural issues that you need to figure out and you just need to be more disciplined about. And so if that requires one practice in the bye week, I think that's very, very good.
Before we get to Andy Hart and talking with him, Andy Hart, Six Rings and WEEI Afternoons, is there anything specific that either of you two want to see in these final four games of the season?
I would like to see if there's absolutely anything there with these rookie receivers.
I feel like I've seen enough of them.
I know, but I just, if there's any meaning, like if there's any opportunity for those guys for next year, he had to flash something in the last four games. And otherwise, I'm kind of the mind of, God, just move on. Don't have another Tyquan Thornton. Don't have another N'Keal Harry. Just keep moving forward. I'm sorry that one of them is a second round pick, but it's not working.
I got three things for you.
Okay.
One, I want a QB designed run. For God's sake.
I want a single.
I want
just
one
little,
QB designed run.
A little baby red zone.
Please,
line.
God. I want you to go for it on fourth down just once. Just once. I'm only asking for once.
I want you to go for it on fourth down
and not like end of game, fourth and 12, and you're down 20 points. No, no, no. I want you to go for a fourth and one around midfield, have grow a pair and go. And then thirdly, for the love of God, score more than 24 points in a game. For just, please, with Drake May, just like uncork it and be aggressive and score some freaking points. You should have scored way more than 24 against the Indianapolis Colts, and you crapped it away. Don't allow that to happen again.
All right, there you go. Santa, if you're listening, those are the things that we want for Christmas this year.
617-779-7937
is the phone number. And joining us right now on the phones, WEEI's Six Rings podcast, and of course, WEEI Afternoons with yours truly. We're joined by Andy Hart here on the phone. What's up, Andy? How we doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Great to have you. Great to be talking with you during the bye week. We've talked a lot over the course of the week about things we'd like to see here in these final four games. You just heard Mego and Shime's Christmas wish list. What's on yours?
Yeah, you know, I actually like Shime's the designed run thing. Christian, you and I have talked a little bit about this. And maybe they can come on the same play, fourth down and a designed QB run. I go back to the preseason, that zone read on the goal
talking
line.
Dirty to me.
Yeah, Shime's head just exploded.
Oh, God. Fourth and one on the goal line, and like, it's a QB run. I just send me to the moon.
Love it. Love it. Either a two-point conversion or a fourth and goal at the two, whatever. I go back to that preseason one where Drake May had the pull and just did the little finger roll, Ladainian Tomlinson style into the end zone. Because I think people have this vision of designed QB runs means we got to get our quarterback killed. No, no. A lot of designed QB runs actually work out where the guy doesn't get touched, right? He runs out of bounds. Or how many times have you seen Russell Wilson pick up like 11 yards and then just scoot out of bounds or slide, whatever. So I love the idea of just continuing to put Drake May on a pedestal, showcase his skills, his ability. That's what you have, and that's your recruiting tool, you know, as well as $130 million. But the secondary aspect of that recruiting tool, as Adam Schefter chastised me, is not some stupid training facility that's not going to be ready for a year. It's Drake May and how good he can be. So his athleticism, his ability to make plays, his ability to be a fun quarterback, put that out there. And then obviously, I agree with you, Mego, the wide receiver position, whether, you know, fish or cut bait time, either force feed me these jackals and get that done, or, you know, give up on these jackals, whatever. One way or the other, find out, sink or swim. So, yeah, those would be my two.
Andy, I asked Fitzy this earlier, but because you've been around the team for a long time, when you look at Jerod Mayo and he wants to present himself as this, he says he wants to be authentically himself. How do you think that translates in a successful way to his identity with the team in the future? Like when you think about Dan Campbell and his relationship to the identity of the Lions, how does Jerod Mayo take the best or strongest parts of his personality and transfer that to the identity of the team?
I think that's a great question. It's something Christian and I kind of argued about this week or debated. I need genuine Jerod Mayo. And I'm still not really sure who genuine Jerod Mayo is. Do I think he's a nice guy, a talkative guy, the guy that wants to catch Curtis and be like, cut you off? Like, I think that's him.
Neutralize. Bam.
Neutralize. Yeah. I think that's him. I think the guy we saw in Quick Slants with Tom Curran is him. I think the guy that was a nice guy when I covered him as an all-pro linebacker is him. So I need that to extend to the team, and then we get into this weird backtracking, clarification, shouldn't have said. You know what? Own everything you say. Own it, right? Like, say, I'm me, and we are we because of what I say and what I do, and just sort of go down that road. And I just But in terms of on the field, I don't think he's ever going to be aggressive. I don't think anybody's forcing him to not be aggressive. I really don't. I think, unfortunately for us that want to see Dan Campbell or want to see this ex-player gritty, aggressive style, I don't think that's Gerard Mayo. For whatever reason, I think he has aligned with Alex Van Pelt, and you have two of the most conservative newbie coaches that you could see. And I don't think it's a Kraft or an Evan Rothsburn or, you know, any of these guys. I think those two have decided that's what they think football is, and that's how they want to play. And that worries me because I don't know, because I certainly don't think that aligns with their quarterback. You know, if you ask me who has a more obvious identity, Mayo or May, I think it's May. May is a gunslinger. May is an aggressive, modern, competitive athlete. He wants to make plays. Like that throw last week to the front pylon, he was rolling out right through to the front pylon, and it was caught but out of bounds. To me, it was dumb, was stupid, was absolutely stupid. It was a terrible decision, but that's who he is. And there's part of me that says, that's who he is. And when Drake May does that, 8 out of 10 times, it's going to be a positive play. 8 out of 10 times, it creates belief in his receivers that I'm always open. I always got to be moving. I could always do something that helps us win here. 2 out of 10 times, it's going to be a turnover. It's going to be a debacle, but I have to take the good with the bad, as the saying goes. With Gerard Mayo, I'm not sure I've seen the good yet. Like with his style and his mentality, it's cautious, it's conservative, that's great. And as he told Chime in the rest of the morning show, you know, would it be any different if we were getting blown out? Well, I don't really like the way you're talking about being content not getting blown out, because I don't see a difference. It's got an L. You have lots of L's. And whether the L comes by 3 points, 10 points, or 22 points, they're L's. You need to find a way to get to dubs. And I don't know where that path is going to take him in his second year when he says he's going to be a very different coach. Year two jump as a coach. I think he's still going to be a conservative guy who has a aggressive quarterback, and I'm not sure that marriage will ever truly work.
Well, yeah, so Andy, that was kind of going to be my follow-up question. Like, it feels like then that this would be set on a collision course because, as you pointed out, and I've said this for a long time, like Drake May is a big game hunter. This guy wants to take shots. He wants to attack you down the field, all levels of the football field. I mean, last week against the Colts, against a very susceptible defense, you didn't take any shots. You never right. took shots. And so will it eventually come to a head where Drake May it wants to be way more aggressive? The coaching staff isn't being aggressive at all, and there's going to become a problem there between the quarterback and the coaching staff?
Yeah, I kind of think so. I would include defense on that. You know, you want to call Drake May a big game hunter? I think Christian Gonzalez, the only other sort of tent pole player, big game hunter.
Yep.
So you have two elite positions with elite players that are big game hunters, and then you have, you know, these coaching staff, certainly with Van Pelt and Mayo, that I don't think you'd kind of quantify or qualify as big game hunters. I think that could be an issue. Now, I do want to give them all the ability to sit back in January and February, assess what they have, who they are, and where they're going, because they are first-year coaches. They're all learning on the fly. They're all making mistakes. In Mayo's case, he was not prepared for this job. In Van Pelt's case, he maybe is who he is, but can evolve. I think it's a problem long-term, definitively, but I do want to give them just the offseason to see what they do when they add talent and when they have time to assess what they did this year. But yeah, I'm certainly dubious of the marriage they have right now between coaching style and playing style.
We're talking with Andy Hart, Six Rings Podcast, WEEI Afternoons. Andy, the only team in the division the Patriots haven't played yet is Buffalo. They got them twice here in the last 4 weeks. They split with the Jets. They lost both times to the Miami Dolphins. The Buffalo Bills are the standard for maybe the entire AFC, but certainly for the division that the Patriots are in. How do you think these matchups are going to look? And in general, it's going to, considering the Patriots are at the bottom of the division right now, the Dolphins are in turmoil, the Jets are probably going to have to blow things up and start all over again. How long do you think it's going to be before the Patriots are competing for the AFC East again?
So I think the Patriots could compete next year. That's putting faith in Elliott Wolf that I'm not overly comfortable doing, but the opportunity is going to be there. When you have the two tentpole players we just talked about, Gonzo and May, and you have a top five pick in every round, not just the first round, in every round, and you have $130 million to spend, and there's a guy named T. Higgins, and there's these opportunities, I firmly believe the quarterback is a rising tide that lifts all boats. And year two, Drake May, to me, has the potential to be a 500 football team. I mean, just look at the games this year. If Gerard Mayo wants to talk about one-score games, you know, I think you have 5 one-score losses. 3 plus 5 is 8, right? So suddenly you flip your schedule. Even if you don't win all of them, you have 6 wins right now, 7. So they should be a much better – if they're not a much better football team talent-wise next September, then Elliott Wolf needs to go, because every opportunity is there to improve this roster. And if you improve this roster around a young quarterback, you should be better. As far as the Bills, they're the measuring stick for a reason. We have Josh Allen 2.0. They got the real deal OG. So that's what you're chasing. And I love the idea of Drake May and Josh Allen going at it twice late in the year, assuming the Bills play both games to win. I like that measuring stick for Drake May. Like, yeah, he knows that he's compared to Josh Allen. He knows that people think he has similar skills. Get out there on the football field and try to go toe-to-toe with him. Don't you know, kind of bow down to the altar of Josh Allen. Go see if you can outplay Josh Allen in a game. And some of these games have been weird with the Bills in recent years. Patriots have found ways to steal them from Buffalo. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I won't be predicting it. I think the Bills are a good team with a great quarterback. But I don't love their coach. And if Drake May has a special day, because I continue to say, for Drake May, we still haven't seen the hellaciously bad rookie performance, and we haven't seen the holy crap, did you see what he did for a full 60 minutes performance. He's had good performances. Maybe he can muster up a shootout with Josh Allen where he goes toe-to-toe with the gunslinger and wins one. Maybe. I'm trying to be optimistic here. And we should be. That's what you have to put your eggs in. That's the basket. Drake May. And we know Josh Allen every once in a while can turn the ball over, so maybe Gonzo. Well, let's put him in this little fun little holiday season narrative. Maybe Gonzo has a couple picks, one of them a pick six, and Drake May throws for 380 and 4 touchdowns. Like, that's your dream if you're a Patriots fan against the Bills. And it may just be a dream. You could go 0-4 in the next 4 games and get your hat handed to you. That's also a very realistic possibility.
Andy, I want to ask you about the poll question that I attempted to put out this morning. Turned into a little bit.
The poll went out.
It was a little gobbledygook, but the essence of the poll, the essence of the poll is your faith, your trust in the Kraft stewardship of this team in the coming offseason. Where is that at for you?
It is definitely challenged right now, I think. Now, everyone knows I worked there for 20 years. So I was witness to pros and cons of Kraft leadership. But I think when you look at the totality of their ownership, they've done a good job. Like, there's a reason, and Bill Belichick was a big chunk of that, but not all of it. You know, this has been a pretty stable franchise through Bill Parcells, Pete Carroll, Bill Belichick for a long time. And right now they're at the bottom of what they've overseen as owners. And I also, a wrinkle that makes this a more difficult question to answer, in my opinion, is we always say the Krafts. Mm. What does that mean? Is that
Robert
75% Robert? Yeah, but is it 75% Robert, 25% Jonathan? Is it 75% Jonathan, 25% Robert? How is that transitional of power at the ownership level going? And that's a major question. I think they're going to spend this offseason. From everyone I've talked to, you know, these debriefs that Gerard Mayo brought up on the Greg Hill show are more questions than criticism. You know, these are asking questions, and they've asked a lot of questions going back to the spring, draft process, summer, roster building, early season, because it's a new era. They have people in position that don't have the resumes and cachet that prior generations did. So I think it's normal when you run a $7 billion team or whatever the hell it is to ask a lot of questions if management has changed. But I also would say there is pressure building and there is desperation building in my mind. And that can push people to do things they might not otherwise do. But from the outside looking in, I'm hopeful that pushes them to be more aggressive with their finances, more aggressive with their pursuits of talent, even if that be on the coaching staff. So I would say I have – if my confidence level was rated 1 out of 10 in the crafts right now, and it used to be like 9 or 10, maybe right now we'll put it at a 6. But that's well ahead of, like, the Jets with Woody Johnson, which I would put at like a 1 or a 2. So it's all about perspective.
Okay, there you go. Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons, as well as the Six Rings podcast, Six Rings post-game show, has the day off today, except for coming on this show because there's no game. But we will be talking with you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Andy, thanks so much.
Enjoy the rest of your day. I'm going to go grab a beer.
All right. See you, Hart. Enjoy. That's Andy Hart. You can hear with me on 2 to 6 Monday through Friday on WEEI Afternoons. Only one thing left to do, and that's pop, lock, and drop it. That's coming up next. WEEI Football Sunday. Arkin, Mego, and Shyman, since we ran a little over there with Andy Hart, let's just jump right into it. It is time to pop, lock, and drop. All right, Shime, start us off. Who's popping this week?
Yeah, give me the L.A. Chargers to pop this week.
Really?
I think they could go in, upset the Kansas City Chiefs. At the very least, the Chiefs can't cover a spread to save their lives. It's a 4-point spread. Weird number.
That's
a
huge line for Kansas City
this year. Massive line. It should be no more than like 2.5. I will take the Chargers plus the points. I think this might be the week Jim Harbaugh walks into Kansas City and says, no, no, no. You might be the best in the division for now, but we are here and present and ready to roll. Give me the Chargers to pop this week against the Chiefs.
All right. Chime likes the Chargers popping off this week. That's tonight's game on NBC Peacock going on at Arrowhead Stadium. Mega, who's popping this week?
So mine is the individual Deebo Samuel.
Okay.
Ooh. So I have him as a plus 160 anytime scorer. I actually kind of like the Bears against the Niners.
Same.
The dead as a doornail Niners. But I feel like that's a little bit of a value if you can find a Deebo Samuel score any point in that game. I know he's been a decline since last year, but I'd go with that.
My pop, I got two of them.
It's a pop. It's not a lock.
It's true. It's not your lock. It's your pop. I think Sam Darnold pops today.
Ooh.
The Minnesota Vikings going up against Atlanta and that terrible pass defense that they have. Also, I like Alvin Kamara to go nuts today against that Giants run defense because they suck.
Would you like a fun Alvin Kamara fact?
I sure would.
He has never had 1,000 yards rushing in a single season in his career, shockingly enough, for a great running back that he is. Needs 106 yards today to get to 1,000 yards. So I like Alvin Kamara 100-plus
day. Kamara's never had 1,000 yards?
Never once in his career.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. I would have not guessed it. If you had told me, if you had given me three running backs, Kamara, I would not have guessed that about Kamara.
Yep.
Definitely not. Anyway, I think he has a big game today against the paltry Giants run defense. All right. Who is a lock today?
Yeah, this is give me the over 42.5 Browns and Steelers. This game got to this number in the snow on a short week, Thursday Night Football in Cleveland a few weeks ago. I expected to get to this number even without George Pickens in this game. Jameis Winston, all he does is throw the rock all over the field.
Will the Lord deliver him from pick sixes this week?
No, he will not. I would love to see the Pittsburgh Steelers have a defensive touchdown in this one. I love the over 42.5. Russ is cooking.
All right. What are you locking up, Mega?
So my lock, that was a foreshadowing for my lock, which is Jameis Winston over 0.5 interceptions, which
that's
is definitely,
0.5, that's it?
Definitely not a value bet.
Nope.
it's a lot. But
minus 800.
He's praying for the Lord to deliver him
for the Lord to deliver me from these pick sixes. I know I'm better than this.
Unfortunately, I don't think his prayers will be answered this week. So
I am going to go with my lock, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Irving is playing there at home against the Vegas Raiders. It's a big line, 6.5. I'll lay those points. I think they can win by 2 scores. And I sure hope they do because there was a lot. I told you going into the break, there's a bunch of maybe locks that I have on here. Nothing that I really love. I think that's the one I like the most. So give me Tampa minus 6.5. All right. What are you dropping, Shyam?
Yeah. Normal brain would say drop Jaguars Titans, but I love betting against Mac Jones, so I can't do that. So I'm going to drop the Saints and Giants. I just want nothing to do with this game outside of the Kamara prop. It's just a weird game. I have no idea who's actually going to win this football game. The Giants could absolutely screw up their draft position. So I will be dropping Saints and Giants.
So mine is Seahawks, Arizona.
Okay.
I would like to say that I think it's Arizona, but I just don't have a ton of confidence in either of these teams. So I'm just wouldn't go anywhere near it. It smells to me.
Yeah, I like both of those. There's a bunch of games that I'd stay away from here. One of them, though, is going to sound weird. Carolina at Philly.
Yeah.
That's a 14 and a half, or no, maybe just 14 points. Listen, Carolina, I can't believe I'm saying this, has looked kind of good lately.
Bryce Young looked awesome.
Bryce Young looks like the guy that they were expecting to get out of Alabama, and Chuba Hubbard is a pretty good running back there. I know the Eagles are going to win this game. I don't think there's any chance that they lose it, although that would be something. I just do not like a double-digit line, and I definitely don't like it with a team on the rise versus a team like Philly who can surprise you with their ineptitude certain weeks. So there you go. That's Pop, Lock, and Drop here for Week 14, the bye week, and that's all for us here on WE. EI Afternoons. No Juan Soto news, folks. Sorry. But that is Mego. That's Shyam. Arcan here for Jacob behind the glass. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Enjoy the football. And we'll talk to you again next weekend. Bye-bye.